What did Satan want more than anything else? To be like God.
To avoid the devil's arrogant mistake, Dr. Tony Evans says it's important to remember who you're not.
You are to never erase the God-man line. There's only one God, and we are not He.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Satan's problems began when he decided to rebel against God. So how did we get roped into the conflict? And how do we survive it? Let's join Dr. Evans for the answers.
You were not created because God was simply in a man-creating mood. You were created because God was making a new day to dawn. And life would begin where chaos and darkness and death had prevailed, because the earth, verse 2 of Genesis 1 says, had no form. It was void of life. It was empty. It was dark. And now chaos gave way to creation. The reason that this world was in chaos was because Satan had been judged. He had been evicted, booted out of heaven, and he made his residence on earth. And wherever he is, death reigns. Wherever he is, chaos instead of creation occurs. And for how many ever thousands, millions, or billions of years, this earth sat as a garbage dump. That is, until the birds began to sing. For God was now intervening with another plan. And his plan was to create the lesser man to demonstrate to the greater angels that a lesser being dependent upon God is greater than a greater being acting independently of God. To put it another way, if a man would trust and obey God, he would be able to pull off under God what rebellious angels who are greater than man were not able to pull off, and that is the replacement of God. So God set in motion a plan. Enter man. You were created as part of a war, a conflict, an angelic conflict, if you will, that God would demonstrate to the angels who were watching. And if you read the Bible over and over again, it keeps talking about the angels watching, watching. Why are they watching, and what are they looking for? They're looking to see if the lesser, dependent on God, can do better than the greater, independent of God. In other words, God just didn't want to demolish Satan. He wanted to embarrass him. And so he set forth in the middle of eternity past and eternity future, a little period called time. That's where you and I live. And it is a very short period, about 10,000 years of time. Time has not existed, certainly no more than 12,000 years based on biblical chronology. So we've been here a very short time. Before it was eternity past, after it will be eternity future, for a speck in a moment, God said, let me strut my stuff in a thing called time. And I will place man. So the battle on God's behalf against Satan is delegated to and through man. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the sky, cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, and you rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves over the earth. I hope you caught that. God comes into Satan's territory, creates man, and says, man, you're in charge here now. Well, now, if you're the devil and this is your house, somebody moves into your house and says, I'm now running this home. You want your house back. And that's what chapter 3 is all about. It's the angelic conflict. We are told in verse 25, God gives them a helpmate. He gives them a woman because they were to be partners in this endeavor of taking over the earth. And now Satan must move quickly. Satan is not wasting any time. And the reason he's not wasting any time is because he can't let them get to that other tree. See, there are two trees, not one. Everybody's focusing on this one tree, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are two trees. He cannot let them get to this other tree, because if they bite the tree of life, that means they are confirmed in righteousness. They live forever. The battle is over. The victory is won, and time is no more. Please note that verses 1 through 6 have one concern: the authority of God's word. God said, every tree that I've created you may freely eat, but of this one tree you may not eat it, lest you die. Satan does not bring up all the other trees in the garden that they could freely eat. He only wants to discuss the one restriction that God placed on them. So the woman responds, are there any limitations? She says, well, now that I think about it, yeah, there are 1,000 trees out here, but there is one I can't touch. Now she's dialoguing with the devil over what God has said no about. So now he's got her discussing God negatively. And in doing so, she changes God's words 3 times. Number one, she says, but from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. That's not what God said. God says, from the fruit of the trees of the garden you may freely eat. See, that word freely is a very important word, because what God was saying is all creation is accessible to you at no cost to you. Secondly, she says, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. He never mentioned touching it. All he said was, you can't eat it. Now, why is touching it important? Because now she was turning God into a legalist. So you get people interpreting the Christian life. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, can't do that. And now God looks old and stale, and he's a miser. And why become a Christian? Because after all, it's only you can't touch this, and you can't touch that. Who said? God or one of his retarded kids? And so she adds language that's not from God. And then thirdly, she said, if you do, lest you die. That's not what God said. God said, if you mess with this tree, you will surely die. In other words, judgment was sure. Because whatever man sows, he reaps. So there's not going to be a questionable death here. There will not be coroner confusion. So all of a sudden, question on the floor is, God, why you do that? I mean, why not give me all the trees? How come you got to hold back one tree? That's a good tree too, because that's got a lot of information. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How come you holding back? And she forgets the goodness of God and starts focusing on the one restriction. Now follow. Satan now contradicts God's word in verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, hey, you're not going to die. Inconvenience maybe, but not die. He challenges God's veracity, his truthfulness. He says, what God said won't really happen. So it boils down to, is God just talking, or is God talking? Now, why won't you die? Let me tell you the problem, Satan says in verse 5. Say, God knows. So let me tell you what God knows. He knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now, what did Satan want more than anything else? To be like God. Satan says to the woman, God has a problem. Okay, he's jealous. He don't want nobody to be God but him. But let me tell you the secret, girlfriend, the answer is in that tree. Because if you take a bite of that tree, he knows you won't know what he knows. Now this tree is not a tree anymore. This tree is divinity. And ever since, man has been trying to be like God. Guess what Satan was trying to do? He was trying to erase the creature-creator distinction. You see, the trees in the middle of the garden would always be a reminder that they were creatures, that they had to obey a higher authority. You are to never erase the God-man line. There is only one God, and we are not he. Satan now invites man to join him in his angelic rebellion. So, let's move on. The woman sees the tree. This is not the first time she's seen this tree, but she's never seen it through Satan's eyes. That's the difference. And that's what Satan does with sin. He wants you to get to see sin through his eyes. He don't just want you to see sin. He wants you to see it through his eyes. He wants to deceive you. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it had always been good for food. When it was a delight to the eyes, it had always been a pretty tree. And it was desirable to make you smart. Well, God said it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But she fantasized about the tree. She developed a passion about the tree. Now she just had to have the tree. Because she wanted to be what Satan wanted to be. She wanted to be God. And so she took it. And she ate. And she said, Adam, come here, boy. I ain't going down by myself. Come here. It's a family thing. And he ate. And now, what happened to the earth when Satan fell and it became a garbage dump happens again. Because now, like Satan was alienated from God, man becomes alienated from God because man has just joined Satan's rebellion. And so what happened? And the eyes of both of them were open, verse 7, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. The verse tells us that they disobeyed, and when they did, their own fellowship with one another was broken, human tension. Their fellowship with God was broken because it says in verse 8, they hid themselves from him. They're living in fear and shame, verse 7 says. They knew that they were naked, their innocence is lost. God says, where are you? They give the excuses, and then it finally comes out, we disobeyed you. Because of what? Now, I hate to say this because it sounds insensitive, but it's the bottom line. Their feelings took precedence over God's revelation. It boils down to that. She felt, ooh, gotta have a piece of that tree. And their feelings overruled revelation. Nothing wrong with feelings, but feelings are never to cause you to lose sight of divine revelations. Feelings must be restricted to God's revelation. This became the basis of the commandment, thou shalt not covet. What is coveting? Desiring something that belongs to somebody else. This is the basis of that condemnation. Don't desire something that belongs to God, starting with his glory. This gets real interesting here. Satan has won. In lickety-split time, Satan has made his move, and mankind and everybody who would come after him was now belonging to the hands of the evil one. So God now collects them all together because we're in a battle. And he pronounces a curse. He says, you're going to be cursed. He says, the first of all, that serpent is going to be cursed because that serpent is going to be on his belly from here on out. Verse 14 says, on your belly you shall go and dust you shall eat. He curses the woman. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. The woman, I will greatly, verse 16, multiply your sorrow and childbirth. He says, your desire shall be for your husband. To Adam he said, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat. Verse 19, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat. And then you're going to return to the dust. What was their sin? They ate, right? Well, now, since you want to eat independent of me, eating is going to be hard now. You got to break your back to eat now. See, when you let me feed you, I fed you freely. No more free meals anymore. You're going to have to go out and you're going to have to tote that barn, lift that bale. You're going to have to work for a living now. And every time you come home, mister, tired from a hard day labor, remember Adam. Because Adam was the basis of that. It was to be a perpetual reminder that when you rebel against God, no more free food. To the serpent, he says, and you will crawl on your belly. And you will eat dust. Now you say, okay, he's eating dust. What's the big deal? Oh, the big deal is in verse 19. He says, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now wait a minute. The serpent is now on its belly, eating dust. You're going back to the ground to become dust. So what is the serpent eating? You want to be with the devil? Fine. We're going to take you all the way back down to the ground and you will be his worm food. You want to be with him, you will go all the way down. You love him so much, you think his one tree is better than my 1,000 trees. Okay? You can have him and I'll put him on the ground and eat you up when you go to the ground. So rebelling against God isn't fun. All of a sudden, the thrill is gone. Baby. And now, chaos has set in.
When Dr. Evans continues his message in just a moment, he'll talk about how God has chosen to deal with that chaos by doing much more with much less. If you feel powerless to stop following in the devil's footsteps, we'd like to see you grab hold of the victory that's already yours in Christ. To help you do that, we encourage you to get a copy of Tony's book, Winning Your Spiritual Battles. This quick read offers down-to-earth guidance on using the tools and tactics God has provided to give you victory over the spiritual challenges in your life, even when they come in the form of substance abuse, sexual or emotional problems, relational issues, and more. If you can help support Tony's ministry with a contribution right now, we'd like to say thanks by sending you a copy of Winning Your Spiritual Battles, along with full-length copies of all 12 messages in Tony's current series on the subject of spiritual warfare. Together, they're a great way to dig deeper into what we've been learning and hear all the additional content we don't have time to bring you on the air. Visit TonyEvans.org for details on this special offer before time runs out, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at TonyEvansTraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere. TonyEvansTraining.org.
So first we saw the earth was turned over to man. Secondly, we saw that Satan overturned the turning over to man, so he got turned back over to him. And man is losing the battle on God's behalf. God could have wiped it all out, but God said, no, I will work through the lesser. Please notice verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and it's got to be seeds of her because it's got to be a human being. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. You're going to hurt man's foot, but he's going to crush your head. In other words, Satan, this battle's not over. I'll give you round one, because I won round one when I booted you out of here. But okay, you got this round. I'm still going to take the lesser and overcome the greater, and I'm not going to change my method. I'm still going to work through a seed. So let's see which children get to the finish line first. But Adam does something that if you read it too fast, you'll miss it. Adam hears the prophecy and hears the judgment. And verse 20 says, now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all, the word "thus" in italics, that means it wasn't in the original language, mother of all living. Adam said, God, I believe you. I believe that you are going to produce through my wife, Eve, her seed, a seed that will crush the devil's head. And the way you know I believe you is by my name I'm going to give to my wife. She's no longer going to be woman. She's going to be Eve. She is going to be the mother of the living one who will bring about the solution to the satanic battle. Her seed will crush the seed of the devil. God then says, Adam, because you believe me, verse 21, the Lord God made garments for the skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now stick with me now. God says, I got to condemn you. You're going to die. You're going back to the earth for rebelling against me, but there's going to be a war. Adam says, I believe you. I'm going to name my wife in light of my belief. She will be the mother of the living who will produce the seed, who will fulfill the promise of verse 15 that the seed of this woman will overcome the seed of this serpent. And I believe you. God says in verse 21, you've exercised faith. So what I'm going to do is take those raggedy leaves off of you that you got covering you and giving you a covering that's my covering. Your covering won't work. Your covering won't solve the problem, but I have a covering that will work and that will fix the problem. God went out and found an animal. It doesn't say what kind. Slew the animal, shed the animal's blood, took the animal's skin, wrapped the animal's skin around Adam and Eve so that they now had divinely provided covering rather than earthly covering. You see, men have been trying to come up with earthly covering ever since, trying to cover themselves from a holy God. The only thing that can cover you from a holy God is God's covering. And that's why all the way through the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices in order to cover themselves from a holy God. So they cover themselves. God covers them in his righteousness rather than letting them stay covered in their own righteousness. He gives them the righteousness that belongs to him rather than the righteousness that belongs to them. And he prophesied that there would be another seed. Now, we don't have time to go into this. We'll get into it later. But Galatians 4:4 and Galatians 3:16 says, and there was a seed from the woman, and that seed's name was Christ. And that seed from the woman would be born of a woman and come into the world. Now, that tells us the whole biblical story. Because in Matthew chapter 4, what does Jesus do? He goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What does the devil want to talk about? The word of God. What does Jesus use? The word of God. For it is written. And they go back and forth. What's the first temptation? Oh, what you gonna eat? You can turn these stones into bread. Why? Because the first Adam ate wrong. Second Adam gonna eat right. The first Adam messed up. Second Adam is gonna fix it up. So they're up in heaven now. And the question is, what was gonna be our next step? How are we gonna beat this woman? Because every man is gonna fall to Satan, because every man belongs to Satan. So the question is, who's gonna go? The second member of the Trinity says, I'll go. But I need somebody perfect. I'll go. But I need somebody who's willing to be a man. I'll go. I need somebody to be born of a woman, to come down a woman's birth canal. I'll go. I need somebody to meet him in the wilderness and allow Satan to do with him what he did with the first Adam. Jesus says, I'll go. I need somebody who'll be willing to go to the other tree. The first tree got him kicked out of the garden. I need somebody who'll hang on another tree to bring him back in the garden. Jesus said, I'll go. Then I need somebody to rise from the dead to demonstrate I've got victory over him. Jesus said, I'll go. And then I need somebody who's going to empower sinful man to become like me. Jesus said, I'll go. And in the nick of time, Jesus was born of a virgin, came into this world. Why? So you and I could get back into the garden. Jesus Christ is the second Adam who will do what the first Adam failed to do. We have a Savior, the man Jesus Christ. He is our deliverer. He is our Savior. He is our solution. He is our covering. He is our hope. It's in Jesus Christ. So you see, this is the battle. And let me give you the good news in closing. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you'll never die, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you know Jesus Christ, he's covered you. Why? Because you put on his covering, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, run to the Savior. Run to the cross of Calvary. Find in him the answer to your battle.
That answer becomes tangible the moment we decide to trust Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and restore our broken relationship with God. Dr. Evans would love to tell you more about how you can do that today. Just visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain what it means to be a real Christian, and you'll find some free resources you can download to get your new life started right. Check it out today at TonyEvans.org. While you're there, don't miss your chance to take advantage of our special offer on Tony's practical book, Winning Your Spiritual Battles. Remember, when you make a donation to help us keep his teaching on this station, we'll send you a copy as our thank you gift, along with his 2-volume, 12-part CD series on spiritual warfare that includes additional content we couldn't present on the air. Make the arrangements today before time runs out. Reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit us anytime at TonyEvans.org. In any war, if your leader isn't smarter than your enemy, you've got a problem. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains how trusting God's leadership can keep you from becoming a spiritual prisoner of war. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.